The following sermon was recorded by Brother David Cloud as part of a video series entitled Issues Facing the Churches. This and other materials are available from Way of Life Literature on the web at wayoflife.org.
With me this morning to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. We want to speak on the subject of dangers in Christian bookstores. Dangers in Christian bookstores. And some might be shocked at such a title. They say, well, Christian bookstores, surely there's not a great danger there. Why don't you worry about something that's really a problem today instead of Christian bookstores? And yet I believe there's some of the greatest spiritual dangers in this world today are available in the average Christian bookstore. We want to begin this morning with three crucial Bible truths that will protect the child of God in these last times. Some things we need to remind ourselves of this morning. First of all, the last days, the Bible says, will be characterized not by revival, but by apostasy. 2 Timothy 4, verses 2 through 4 says, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned into fables. And this is describing those that profess the name of Christ. You cannot turn away from something until first you've professed that thing. And so they have turned away from the truth, and God warns us that this is what will characterize professing Christians at the end of this age. And not only that, but the closer that we come to the return of Christ, the worse it will get and the more confusion there will be, spiritual confusion in this world. We see in 2 Timothy 3, verse 13, in the chapter just before this, in verse 13, 2 Timothy 3, the whole chapter is describing the conditions in the last days, in the last hours. And it says, evil men and seducers will wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And so these false teachers are going to increase. And there's going to be more and more error and confusion among professing Christians. That's the first Bible truth we need to understand. Because as we live in these last hours, and as we see the return of Christ draw near, we need to be very careful, and we need to understand that we are living in an hour of danger. And we need to have our eyes open, and we need to be very careful spiritually. But secondly, the Word of God warns, commands us to test everything by the Scriptures. We see that in 1 Thessalonians 5:21. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Prove all things. Test everything by the Bible. The Bereans, in Acts chapter 17, verse 11, were commended because they took the Scriptures and they carefully tested everything they heard with those Scriptures and compared them to the Scriptures, and they were not just gullible and they did not just receive anything somebody said that claimed to be of God. They tested it, and God's Word commends them for that. Acts 17:11. And so God warns us and commands us to test everything by the Bible. And when we walk into a Christian bookstore, so-called, we need to keep that in mind, that I have to test this thing by the Bible. And thirdly, spiritual error is clothed in an appearance of truth and righteousness. Spiritual error is clothed in an appearance of truth and righteousness. That's the only way the devil would ever deceive anybody. If he came to us and he had a sign on, I'm a false teacher and I'm teaching heresies, nobody would follow him. But the fact is that he clothes himself in the appearance of truth and righteousness. Jesus warned about these false teachers that would come in Matthew 7. And he warned that they would be wolves, but they would be clothed in sheep's clothing. And so he was warning us that they're going to be deceptive and they're going to have an appearance of that which is right. And he was warning us that we have to be very careful and we have to dig underneath the surface sometimes to find out what is really there. And that's what we see in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 13. This church at Corinth was one of the churches that was plagued by false teachers. Already in the first century, one of the greatest problems of that day was the false teachers. And Corinth was not immune to that. And Corinth, in fact, was because they were carnal. They were not carefully testing these men, and they were not carefully rejecting the error. And Paul had to warn them in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3. He said, I fear. He said, I'm afraid for you, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. And the problem with the Corinthians was that they were tolerant. And tolerance of error is never something that the Bible commends. God is rebuking them because they were tolerant of the error that was coming in their midst. False Christ, false spirits, and false gospels. And so we have to remind ourselves of that as we walk into a Christian bookstore, that this is an hour of great apostasy, that I need to carefully judge everything by the Word of God, and that spiritual error is going to be clothed in an appearance of truth and righteousness. And so I need to dig under the surface and I need to be very careful. Now, obviously, in one message, we cannot cover all of the dangers in the Christian bookstore. There are too many for that. We will not deal with the danger that lies in the music department. There's great dangers in the music department and the average Christian bookstore, but we've dealt with that in another series of messages on sound music. We will not deal with the dangers that lie in the Bible version section of the bookstore. There are dangers there, but we deal with that in other messages. We will not deal with the danger that lies in the church history section of your average bookstore. Even Baptist bookstores, so-called, today, have a lot of strange things in the church history department, but we pass over that. We will not deal with the error in the department that deals with missions and evangelism. There's some strange things there also, but we will pass over that because of time this morning, and we will deal with these seven things. Number one, the philosophy of positivism. Number two, the ecumenical philosophy. Number three, the anti-fundamentalism philosophy. Number four, the charismatic doctrines. Number five, the church growth philosophy. Number six, the psychology. And number seven, miscellaneous heresies and heretics. All of these could form one message in any one of these. Positivism. In my estimation, one of the greatest dangers in a Christian bookstore today is not the heresy there, but it's all of the things that ought to be there but are not there. Because what you'll find in the average Christian bookstore is a philosophy of, we're going to be positive in everything here. We're not going to get involved in controversies. And you'll find all kinds of books. You'll find whole rows of containing books that deal with soft little things. But they never deal with anything of great substance, the great issues today that are destroying churches. Hardly do they ever deal plainly with sin. Robert Schuller, turning halos, hurts into halos. K. Arthur, Lord, heal my hurts. Here we are in the most prosperous generation that the world's ever seen, have more comforts than the world's ever conceived of having, and yet everybody's hurting. And they're pampering our little hurts. They don't deal with the fact that a lot of our hurts are caused by our own sin. And what we need is not somebody to put a salve on them, we need to confess them. Charles Stanley, the source of my strength, relying on the self-changing power of Jesus Christ to heal our wounded hearts. David Jeremiah, bend in the road, experiencing God when your world caves in. And all have the same theme, and there are dozens and dozens of these on the bookshelves today. And yet they don't deal with anything of great substance and the great issues and the great attacks that are destroying churches and Christians today are just totally ignored. And this great philosophy of positivism is what you'll find. And so many of the important subjects that should be dealt with in those bookstores are completely ignored because those subjects are controversial. Truth has always been controversial. But I believe that it's a bookstore's owner, if he calls himself a Christian bookstore, to have materials that are conformed to the Word of God and that deal with the things that God's concerned about with today. But there's a second great danger in Christian bookstores, and that is the ecumenical movement that you'll find represented there. In fact, just about every section of the bookstore, you'll find something dealing with or promoting the ecumenical movement. One of the fathers, of course, of the ecumenical movement is Billy Graham. This is his autobiography that he published a couple years ago, Just As I Am. And the philosophy of the ecumenical movement is that unity is the most important thing among professing Christians. Doctrine's okay, but it should never divide us. That's not what the Word of God says. Romans 16, verse 17, single-handedly destroys the ecumenical philosophy. The Word of God says in Romans 16, 17, mark them which cause divisions contrary to the doctrine which you've learned, and avoid them. And so the Word of God says if someone brings a doctrine that we have not been taught and a false doctrine that we're not to fellowship with them and associate with them, we're to avoid them. Now that's a very unpopular doctrine. It's a doctrine of separation, and yet it's one of the teachings of the Word of God. The passage we read in beginning in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 warns us that there are false Christs and false gospels and false spirits. And that destroys the ecumenical philosophy. The ecumenical philosophy says, well, if they love Jesus and you love Jesus, you should get along and be together. But the question we always have to ask is, what Jesus do they love? What gospel do they preach? What spirit do they associate with? And when you begin to ask hard questions like that and wise questions like that, it destroys the ecumenical movement. Billy Graham epitomizes the ecumenical movement in his associations with the Roman Catholic Church. He has met many times with the Pope of Rome, associated closely with him. He has praised him highly in the media. And never, not once, has he ever warned his listeners that the Pope of Rome preaches a false gospel that will send people to eternal hell if they believe it and die with it. He has sent thousands and thousands of his converts over into the Catholic churches, turned them over to the Catholic churches. I visited the Billy Graham Museum last month in Wheaton, Illinois. And in the Billy Graham Museum, the first room you come to is a round room. It's called the Rotunda of Witnesses, and there are banners about 20 feet tall all around that round room. And they are depictions of the heroes of evangelism from the history, supposedly. And they begin with the Apostle Paul, and they end with Oswald J. Chambers, I believe. And I was examining these banners, and I was amazed to see that two of the first ones that are there in the Billy Graham Museum are Pope Gregory the Great, the first real Catholic pope that really had that kind of power. The Catholic Church evolved gradually. But by the time Pope Gregory the Great, so-called, was on his little throne, it was pretty much full-blown, and he was a real pope. And another one of the supposed heroes of evangelism was Francis of Assisi, who founded the Franciscan order, who was a great persecutor of Bible-believing Christians. During the Dark Ages, one of the organizations within the Catholic Church that fiercely fought against Bible-believing Christians were the Franciscans. And Francis of Assisi did not preach the true gospel of the Bible. Neither did Pope Gregory. They preached Rome's false gospel of works and faith to get you to heaven. And they persecuted those that were preaching the true gospel in those days. During the Dark Ages, there were always Bible-believing Christians that were faithfully preaching the Word of God, and they were put to death for that. But they were there as God's witnesses in the Dark Ages. And so Billy Graham exalts persecutors and those that preach false gospels and completely ignores those that suffered for the gospel during the Dark Ages. The Waldensians are not even mentioned. And that's the ecumenical movement today. They pervert history and reinterpret history. That's why you can't hardly find a good church history in the bookstores, because it's been reinterpreted by the ecumenical movement, and they don't want to offend anybody by telling the truth about Rome. You've got books by famous and popular evangelicals in the bookstore, like The Body by Chuck Colson, which promotes unity between Protestants in Rome. John Maxwell, Failing Forward. He's a motivational speaker, but he's very popular. You'll find his books in Christian bookstores. And here in this book, he talks about Roman Catholics. He talks about a Sister Frances Cabrini, the missionary sisters of the Sacred Heart, and he considers them true Christians and true missions. You've got a popular book right now by Jim Cimbola, Fresh Power. He is a charismatic man, a charismatic in his doctrine, ecumenical in his philosophy. In this book, he says Jesus prayed that all His people become one, evangelical, charismatic, Baptist, Lutherans, the ecumenical philosophy. You've got Max Lucado. Many, many books on the bookshelves these days, a Church of Christ pastor. In the Grip of Grace is one of his books. And in here, he talks about how he's so thankful for all of the different denominations and groups, and he's thankful for them and how they've been a blessing in his life. And he thanks the Lord for Church of Christ and Pentecostals and Anglicans and Southern Baptists and Presbyterians and Catholics. And hidden in all of these books are the ecumenical philosophy. And you've got Elizabeth Philip Yancey, another popular speaker today, Where is God When It Hurts? Here's another book about hurting. And yet this book also has the ecumenical philosophy in it. He talks about Catholic missions and how they are a part of the body of Christ. You've got another very popular evangelical writer today, and her name is Elizabeth Elliot. And I have a llot of respect for her for some causes. She lost her husband to the Alka Indians. He was martyred. She went back to those same people and witnessed to them and lived among them sacrificially. And there's many reasons to respect this woman, as there are some of these other people. And yet she is as ecumenical as you can possibly get, and that's very dangerous. She's an Episcopalian in her church association. In 1989, she spoke at the Franciscan University in Steubenville, Ohio. In 1998, she spoke at Notre Dame University Catholic School. Her book here, Taking Flight, has a very strange thing in it about salvation. On page 12, she says, those that receive Christ are not given an instant kingdom, but the right to become children of God. It does not say God makes them instant children of God. It says He gives them the right to become the children of God. My friends, that's heresy. We become the children of God. Born again into God's family. A birth. It's not a process. Salvation is not a process. Christian growth is a process. Salvation is not a process. And so she is a very, very dangerous type person because she has this reputation. Even makes her more dangerous because many think, well, what could be wrong with her? What could be dangerous about buying her book and giving it to somebody? But there's great dangers there because of who she's associated with, and her thinking has been affected by all of that. And it's a truth that we need to understand that ecumenical associations corrupt those that participate in them so that they go farther and farther away from the truth. The Bible says evil communications corrupt good manners. That's a fact. That's not something up for debate. And so you have the ecumenical philosophy. It permeates the average Christian bookstore. And in all sorts of places you will find it. Thirdly, there's another danger, and that is the anti-fundamentalist attitude that permeates most of these books. Literally permeates, but I have two examples. One is Jerry Bridges, Transforming Grace, Living Confidently in God's Unfailing Love. And in this book, he talks about the danger of legalism. How does he define legalism? He defines it as saying that when you expect people to be faithful in church, that's legalism. No, it's not. The Bible commands us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. How can it be legalistic to preach what God commands? They say that legalism, he says, is saying that men ought to wear short hair. No, that's not legalism. That's what the Bible says. If the Bible says something, it's not legalistic to preach it. He says it's worrying about worldliness. My friends, if ever there was a time to think about worldliness and preach against worldliness, it's today, and that's not legalism. The Bible has a lot to say about worldliness. Setting up fences, he says, is legalism. No, there's some fences that need to be set up. In fact, they need to be walls. He says, legalists have cast iron opinions. But when you take this book and you believe every word of it, you do have cast iron opinions. The problem is going beyond the Bible and adding all of my thoughts to it and acting like my thoughts also are inspired. That's of course, is true legalism. But believing the Bible and standing upon every word of the Bible is certainly not legalism, and yet this man calls it that. He's certainly no friend to a strong fundamentalist Bible-believing church. It's very dangerous. He says legalists see things in black and white. Things are black and white. There's a lot of things that are black and white. There's nothing wrong with seeing things in black and white as long as those things are in the Bible. But there's another man that teaches an anti-fundamentalist philosophy that we use as an example of this, and that is Chuck Swindoll. Very popular. Very popular. Chuck Swindoll, years ago, wrote The Grace Awakening, but you can still find this in Christian bookstores today. The Grace Awakening. And he also says that legalism is setting up all kinds of standards and rules. And he says that grace is the absence of Bible bashing and dogmatism. See, he doesn't do any Bible bashing. He's a preacher, a pastor, was the head of Dallas Seminary until recently. But when he preaches, it's not any Bible bashing. Because it's not very dogmatic. It's kind of, here's some nice things for you. Wouldn't you like to do this? But there's no authority there. There's no, this is what we must do. There's no, hey, we're really wrong today. We've really gone astray today. That's what he ought to be saying because we're living in an apostate hour. And yet it's all soft and smooth and nice. Not like the prophets of old. Not like the apostles of old. It's a different kind of preaching. And he defines grace as the absence of Bible bashing and dogmatism. Dogmatism means that you believe something strongly. You're sure of it. The Word of God has a lot of things that we ought to be sure about and we ought to stand on. And that is not wrong. And he warns about strict fundamentalist ministries. He warns about them. He is a great enemy of a strong fundamentalist Bible-believing church. And fundamentalists and Bible believers are only people. There's nothing perfect about them. They're just people. And yet, their position to believe every word of the Bible and to take a concern for it is not wrong. It does not displease God. It is not legalism. It is not a lack of grace to stand that way upon the Word of God. And so these men are enemies of that position. The anti-fundamentalism is a great danger because it comes in and it begins to appeal to us. And we say, well, yeah, I don't like that old hard negative preaching. Yeah, I don't like somebody telling my kids what to do and telling my kids that they're wrong for dressing like this. And so it's very dangerous. These men are very dangerous. There's a fourth danger that's a great danger, and that is the charismatic movement. The charismatic movement is very much a part of the average Christian bookstore. They make a lot of their money selling charismatic materials. You say, well, what's wrong with the charismatic movement? They love the Lord. Well, among many other things, there's two great errors among charismatics today that go even beyond the Pentecostal doctrines. And that is the unscriptural and weird experiences that you will find slaying in the Spirit, falling down on the floor, a Holy Spirit glue, they call it, carpet time. Falling down on the floor, they say, God did that to me. No, God didn't do that. God never did that in the Bible. That's not something that's scriptural. And they say, I just let myself open and God takes control of me, and the Word of God warns us against doing that. The Word of God says we're to be sober, we're to be in control of our mind. And the drunkenness in the Spirit. And they get drunk and they stagger around and fall down. The hysterical laughing. And I've seen all of that in many, many different conferences I've been to. But then the most radical ecumenical philosophy you'll find is found among the charismatics. They will not condemn the Roman Catholic Church. And even those charismatics today that are in the mainstream and are considered sane, they're very dangerous also. One of those is Jack Hafer. He's considered he's a thinking charismatic. Pastor of a four-square Pentecostal church. I've heard him preach different times. The last time I heard him preach was in St. Louis last year. And he was talking about his daughter. He said his daughter came to him one day and said, Dad, I'm trying to speak in tongues, but I don't really think they're tongues, Dad. That's a good question because their tongues are not real languages. And in the Bible, tongues are real languages. Well, he said, don't worry about that. Those are baby tongues. You start with baby tongues and you'll grow in your tongues. Does the Bible ever say anything like that? Not a hint, not a word. When they got the gift of tongues, it was a miracle. And they could speak. They didn't have to sound like a baby and slowly learn. That's natural. That's the natural. It was supernatural. They could speak in a language they had never learned. That was a miracle. That was a sign and a wonder. This thing today is a wonder, but it's not a sign. I've heard them. Shalalama, babalama, shalalama, babalama. You're not talking. You're not fooling anybody unless they want to be fooled. And if you've got a language there, you've got a small vocabulary. That's what I told one of them one time. It's not a language. And so the charismatic movement is very dangerous, and even those that supposedly are very thinking type men like Jack Hayford has this extremely dangerous charismatic philosophy. And he does not. And those that do the weirdest things, such as laugh hysterically while somebody's preaching and flop around on the floor like they're drunk, he doesn't rebuke them. He doesn't correct them. Right there in that conference where he was last year, there were many Roman Catholic priests also speaking. He didn't say one word of warning. Not one word of warning. And so they're all dangerous. The charismatic movement is very dangerous. And it permeates our Christian bookstores today. But there's a fifth danger. And that is the church growth philosophy that you'll find in Christian bookstores. What's this church growth philosophy? Well, it's the teaching of how to have a big and successful church. And there are some big successful churches today. Rick Warren pastors the Saddleback Community Church out in California. And he's written a book, The Purpose-Driven Church. Very influential, very popular. He's a Southern Baptist, but he doesn't use the name Baptist on his church. And there's another man that is equally as influential, and that is Bill Hybels, just west of Chicago. And he's got the Willow Creek Community Church in a community out west of Chicago. And he's got a book, Rediscovering Church. We need to rediscover church. Now, we don't need to rediscover church. We need to go back to the first church. We need to go back to the book of Acts and the epistles if we want to know what a church is. And yet these men are the gurus of the church growth movement. And they're very dangerous. They have watered down their message. They won't admit this. In fact, they say they haven't, but they have. They have watered down their preaching so that they don't preach, they just talk. And for the sake of attracting lost people, they say, we want lost people to come in here and not be offended. But that's not possible if you preach the Word of God the way the Word of God is written. You've got to change it. You've got to leave things out. Because Jesus preached more about hell than he did about heaven, and that offends a lost man. And it's supposed to. There's no conviction without the preaching of the Word of God. And their message, the message at Willow Creek, for example, is described like this. There's no fire and brimstone here. No fire and brimstone preaching here. No Bible thumping here. It's amazing how many times they talk about that. Bible thumping, Bible bashing. Just practical, witty messages. They have women pastors. They support all kinds of false teachers like Robert Schuller, heretics. They use rock music. In fact, I attended there a few weeks ago on a Wednesday night. There were thousands of people there at Willow Creek. And this is what it was. This is what it was. It was a rock concert with a little testimony and the Lord's Supper in the middle. Rick Warren says this about music. I reject the idea that music styles can be judged as either good or bad. He said it doesn't matter what kind of music you use, there's no such thing as bad music. And he said this, churches need to admit that no particular style of music is sacred. There's no sacred music, he said. Oh, how sad that is. In an old, wicked, sin-cursed world, you mean I can't have anything that's sacred? Anything that's holy? Anything that's set apart unto God? I can't have that anymore? Nothing sacred? That characterizes those people. Nothing sacred. It's all of the world. And so there's the great danger of the church growth philosophy. There's a sixth danger I wanted to mention, and that's the danger of psychology. By the way, another church growth guru is Peter Wagner. Peter Wagner, who has many books in the bookstore. Peter Wagner, very, very dangerous. He promotes the very strangest charismatics and says that their churches are great. We need to follow them. But the danger of psychology. The danger of psychology. And we couldn't mention that danger without mentioning James Dobson. Here's two of his books, Love Must Be Tough and Straight Talk, in one volume. And you'll find many, many books by James Dobson in the bookstores today. Very dangerous man. He has a very large Roman Catholic audience. He refuses to warn them that their gospel is false. I wrote to him one time and I said, "Do you ever warn your listeners about false gospels?" And I got this angry letter back from one of his writers, and she said to me, "You are the most dangerous man I know." One of his magazines was dedicated to Mother Teresa, one of the youth clubhouse magazines years ago, promoting Mother Teresa as if she were a great Christian lady, and as if she did not follow and preach a false gospel. He appeared on the cover of a Catholic magazine some years back, a New Covenant magazine, James Dobson. Not one word of warning in there about the error of Rome, of course. If he did, he would lose all of those Catholic listeners and all of those millions of dollars. In this same magazine, it talks about Mary at the foot of the cross, a magazine that James Dobson is featured in. And it says, Mary is our mother. We can pray to Mary. She is the mother of the church. She said, through the Immaculate Heart of Mary, in union with the holy sacrifice of the Mass around the world, she hears our prayers and answers our prayers. No, she doesn't. And that's James Dobson today. The great danger of psychology, and so much more could be said about that, but it's a great danger to try to mix together psychology and the Word of God. And most people are not wise enough to discern the truth from the error in that, so it's best to avoid it altogether. And I want to mention one other area of danger, and I call it miscellaneous heresies and heretics, for lack of a better term. And I just want to mention two men in this category this morning, and that is, first of all, C.S. Lewis. C.S. Lewis is so popular, more so than ever. Millions of his books have been sold since his death. His book, Mere Christianity, is on the bookshelves, many of his other books. And he is promoted by evangelicals today. He's almost like a saint of evangelicalism. He denied many of the doctrines of the Word of God. C.S. Lewis was not a strong man of the Christian faith. He denied that man is totally depraved. He denied that substitutionary atonement of Jesus Christ. He said, we don't need that blood, but we do. He said that evolution was right, that there's a theistic evolution, that God used evolution. No, He didn't. Not according to Genesis chapter 1. He rejected the Bible as the infallible Word of God and believed that there's errors in our Bible. He denied the doctrine of an eternal fiery hell and believed that hell was something different than what Jesus Christ described. Very dangerous. In his book, Mere Christianity, he promotes the ecumenical philosophy. In fact, he's one of the fathers of the ecumenical philosophy of these last days. And he promoted the idea that all of the denominations are part of God's family. Catholics and Protestants and Baptists and everybody. And that we need to boil Christianity down to the lowest common denominator of what we believe and be satisfied with that and get along with that. That's not what the Word of God says. The Word of God instructed Timothy in 1 Timothy 1 verse 3 that he was to teach no other doctrine and allow no other doctrine to be taught. That's very narrow. And yet that's what the Word of God says about doctrine and how important doctrine is. Everything in the Bible is important. And so C.S. Lewis is very, very dangerous. But there's another man I want to mention, and that is Robert Schuller. It's a very, very great amazement that Robert Schuller would ever be in a Christian bookstore, because he's a heretic and he's redefined and denied just about everything in the Bible. Here's this book, Self-Esteem, the New Reformation from years past. In this book, Robert Schuller says it's shallow and insulting to define sin as rebellion against God. He said positive Christianity does not hold to human depravity, but to human inability. He said hell is a loss of pride that follows separation from God. No, hell is fiery torment. He said Jesus never called a person a sinner, but of course He did. Jesus called men evil. He said, if ye then being evil, and He called men worse things than sinners, in fact. He called the Pharisees worse things than sinners. And so, these are very dangerous men, and yet you will find them in the average Christian bookstore. Praise the Lord, there are some exceptions, but not many. There are three bookstores over in North Carolina that are exceptions. And Gullion's Christian bookstores, and they will not sell the writings of these men. And they will not sell anything that's charismatic and that's ecumenical. And they sell only the King James Bible, and they're very prosperous too, by the way. But that's unusual, very unusual. Most of the average Christian bookstores today will have these types of dangers and many others. And so, in conclusion, we need to be very careful. We need to be careful today. Pastors should warn their people and inform their people about the dangers that are out there. The average Christian and the average fundamental Baptist church is not informed of these matters very carefully. And the average Christian is just so ignorant about these dangers and so gullible. We need to be careful. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. And we need also to get good counsel. Say, well, I just don't know about all those people in the bookstores. What am I supposed to do? Well, get some good counsel. Find somebody that does know about that author and find out something from them. And it's better to err on the side of safety today, because there are great spiritual dangers in the average Christian bookstore. Let's pray. Father, we thank You today for Your Word of God, which is a light unto our path. Lord, which is such a great protection and comfort if we would heed it. And I pray, Lord, for each of the ones that will hear this message, Lord, that they would heed it. And Lord, they would be wise and beware today and protect themselves and their families and their churches from the dangers of